Try that. Let's see if that works. There we go. I have power now. Okay. And we're endeavoring to plant a church in Hickory, North Carolina, just down the road from you there. I've been living in Caldwell County, just north of Hickory, since 2011. My in-laws live out there. And so we've kind of made that our home. When we moved out there, we lived with them in their basement, so to speak, with our family. Our kids were still in school and still doing all that. And the Lord provided us a house there next door. When we moved into that house, I think it was our 24th anniversary that year of marriage. And it was also our 24th move there. And so that's the life of a missionary. We traveled and moved a lot from place to place, and so I don't know if I've got the faith yet to burn my boxes. They're still underneath the house. If you're in the Lord's service, you need to be ready to go when the Lord says go. Amen. And so, we feel the Lord is giving us an opportunity to plant our roots a little bit there. And of late, he's laid on our heart to start a church in Hickory. This may surprise you, and this research came from the Southern Baptists of North Carolina. They identified 250 lost pockets, lost zones in North Carolina where we have need for churches being started. Hickory was ranked 60 out of 250 places in North Carolina. Now, some of the benchmarks that brought about the data for it was the 2010 census. This report is about 6 years old. Not much has changed since then. But back in 2010, of 17,000 households in Hickory, which is about 40,000 population, 11,000 homes said, "We have no religious association." 11,000 homes out of 17,000 said, "We do not identify with a religion." That's shocking. Here in the Bible Belt. But if you look at how the Bible Belt is acting, the truth is that the belt is down by its ankles right now. And Hickory is a very large city for the Lutheran Church. A lot of Germans settled there as the city was getting started. So we have a lot of Lutheran churches, and we have a few good Baptist churches. But we're aiming at the south side of Hickory. There's a developing area called Mountain View, and they're widening the road down there and down to the high school, and a lot of new homes are being built. That seems to be the growing area, and not many churches are yet there in that location, and the Lord is leading us down there to start a church. And so actually Easter Sunday is officially our start. And so we've been having what we call a soft start, kind of trying to recruit some like a core team to join us there. We did hire my son-in-law and daughter to come on and join us there in this endeavor to start the church. And so we're glad that they've come from Oklahoma to be with us there. And the fact is, I'm just not as young as I used to be there. But we were missionaries in England for 17 years. My wife is a missionary kid from France, and I'm a missionary kid from England. And I spent 29 years of my life overseas, actually. And 17 of them, my wife and I were there church planting in England. We're involved with three different church plant ministries, involved in starting a Bible college and starting a youth camp ministry. And we were just having a time. And the truth to be told, I thought we would live and die on the mission field. That was my vision, my plan, my goal. But in 2008, we began to sense that God was changing our direction. And I felt the Lord was calling me back to America to call America to repentance. Amen. I'm here to tell you, folks, America, you're not too big to fail. You're not too big to fail. And I believe God is raising up judgment for our land if we continue in our willful rebellion against God. We cannot continue to live in rebellion against God's ways and expect God to put his rubber stamp on us and say, "That's okay, you're America." That doesn't work. And I believe God's raising up an enemy to bring judgment. And I began to see how Islam was being used in Europe and its growth and its influence there. You need to be ready for this because we're not far away from it now. By the year 2040, papers in Europe are saying that there'll be more Muslims in Europe than non-Muslims. Let me let that sink in. 2040, there'll be more Muslims than non-Muslims in many countries in Europe. And Muhammad, the name Muhammad has been the most popular name for a baby boy in Britain, born in Britain. The name Muhammad is the most popular name, and that's been the case for the last 10 years. Many schools in London, their first graders, half of the school is Muslim. Just think where it's going to be 12 years. And that continuation is going and going and going. And so they've been immigrating and procreating. And now they're at the stage where they've been intimidating. We now have Sharia law courts over in Britain. And that's been going on since 2008. September 14, 2008, it was announced that the first seven Sharia law courts were opening. And the town that I was ministering was the headquarters for all the Sharia law courts of the country. And so I knew I was in a very large Muslim population, and I had to deal with Islam, with Muslims, for quite some time in our community. And so I started studying and getting into that field. And God just kept drawing me deeper and deeper and deeper into it and understanding it. And the Lord has used us in a way to teach other missionaries and other congregations that are in Muslim communities how to reach Muslims for Christ. And we started a ministry called Missions to Muslims Network. There are 20 cities in North America that have very large Muslim populations. 20,000, 30,000. New York City, 500,000 Muslims. In fact, you're supporting one of our missionaries, the Stallcups, Tim Stallcup. They're going to New York City to reach Muslim immigrants that are coming in to that area. And so they and others that we've been training and working with, we put over 2,500 people through our class on engaging Muslims with the gospel. Through that and our radio ministry, we've now seen, we've heard up to 120 Muslims get saved. And so we praise God for that. And we believe this is just the beginning because we really haven't gotten our course out to many people yet. And so we hope and pray that God will use that. So I'm still involved in these other ministries, radio ministry, missions to Muslims. And the Lord has laid on our heart to start this church in Hickory. And so we appreciate your prayers on that. That's why when I felt the Lord putting more on my plate, I said, well, Lord, my plate can only get so big. And he's wanting me to get a bigger plate. Well, the only way I can get a bigger plate is bring in some help. And so that's why we've got Tyler and Tiffany with us here. And so we're glad that they're with us there. Now, I do have a copy of my last book here, The Quran on Trial. The Muslims claim that that the Bible has been corrupted. That's what they say. And so so we test that argument. Okay, well, let's look at your arguments against the Bible, and let's look at the how the text came into being and stuff there. But let's also apply that to the Quran. Let's put it on trial as well. Amen. And let's see if it stands the test that you throw at the Bible. Well, here's the reality. This keeps coming up smelling like a rose.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
But this is in big trouble. The Quran is in terrible shape. In fact, there's some things that are just developing that I'm covering in this book that most people don't even have an idea about. And so we have it available there. And Sword of the Lord printed this for us there. And we've got also Tim Stallcup's little book there that he put out. He's got some of my material and others that I introduced to him there of how to speak to Muslims about Christ. And we're throwing this in with this, and it's $10 for both of them there. And my wife and daughter will have that available to you there. Take your Bibles, if you would, and join me in Hebrews chapter. Actually, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at one verse there, and then we're going to find our way back over to Hebrews. Recently, we were doing some work at the house there and moving some things around in the closet there, in my wife's closet, and there was a box there. I'd never seen this box before. And you know, I wasn't really trying to, you know, get nosy and stuff, but it was kind of open. And I looked in there, and there was some eggs in this box, six eggs in this tray. And over $300 was in this box. And I asked my wife, I said, honey, what is this? And she said, well, hon, you know, I mean, you've been preaching for quite some time. And, you know, sometimes you just, when you don't have a good day or something, you just kind of lay an egg. And when you do, I put an egg in here. And she says, well, six eggs, that's not too bad. After, you know, 30-something years of preaching and stuff, you know, well, what about that money? She said, well, when I get a dozen, I sell them for a dollar. And so, well, I kind of felt this morning that the sermon that I preached this morning, I kind of laid an egg this morning. At least that's how I feel. I don't know how my congregation felt about it. But tonight I'm going to try to get it right here tonight. Okay, so you're going to get take two of the message that I preached this morning. And I've kind of changed it a little bit there. And if you're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, I don't know if you're accustomed to stand. Just one verse, if you'll stand with me as we read this. Here to honor the word of the Lord. And here we find instruction that Paul is giving to young Timothy through inspiration of the word of God. And he says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The idea here is a runner or an athlete, and he's participating for a crown. He's running for the gold. And if you're going to get the gold, you've got to run lawfully. You've got to do it according to the rules. You don't get to make up your rules. God has some rules for us. And he has a way for us to walk. And if we don't walk his way, we're making up our rules. And we're not going to get credit at the end of the race. Let's pray. Father, I ask God that your hand will be upon this service this evening. Lord, we desire that when we stand before you, that we would be able to hear our Lord and Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Lord, I fear that many of us, when we get to heaven, will suffer loss. Not that we'll lose our salvation. That's not on the books. Once saved, always saved. We thank you for the adoption of sons. They were adopted into the family of Christ. But Lord, our works will be tested. And the way that we walked will be tested. And I pray, God, that we would be found faithful. That we ran the race and ran it lawfully, so that you might be glorified in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Since the beginning of time, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, man has been trying to dictate to God his terms of how he wants to worship God. Remember Cain and Abel? Both knew how God designed and desired for sacrifice to be made. Abel knew. Cain knew. They both were instructed by the same parents. But for some reason, someone decided, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God differently. I'm going to bring a sacrifice on my terms, not on God's terms. And here you find an example that I've witnessed and seen through the years, that men seem to be doing this again and again and again and still doing today, saying, I'm going to serve God, but on my terms. I'm going to run the race according to my rules, not according to God's rules. I'm going to do it my way. Cain brought up probably a fantastic sacrifice. It probably took him more work to prepare it than what Abel had done to bring his sacrifice. Now, I'm not much of a farmer. I don't know, is anyone a farmer here? Anyone ever driven by a farm? Anyone ever sung Old MacDonald Had a Farm? Okay, all right. I'm not a farmer, but we now have some acreage there, and we've tried to grow a garden. And we've had some animals. We've had some chickens and some rabbits and stuff there. And I tell you what, the animals do well. They really don't seem to take a whole lot of effort. You know, just as long as they get fed, as long as you give them water and stuff there and shelter and stuff. And it just seems to happen. It just seems to go and go and go, go. But with plants, I got black thumbs. Every time we've tried to get things going, it just doesn't work out. Either it's just too much rain or not enough rain or pestilence or whatever. It just seems. But Cain, man, he worked hard. He produced the sacrifice for the Lord, and I'm sure it was spectacular. He brought it before the Lord, and he probably thought, boy, God's going to be impressed with me. And Abel, he just found one of the animals, one of the best that he could find there, and he took it to the Lord and said, Lord, this is yours. You see, the thing is that God's design had a plan. That animal represented innocence. That animal represented a blood offering. That blood offering was important because it is the atonement for our sins. Without it, there is no remission of sins. It's a picture of what Jesus, what God himself through his son would do on the cross for the remission of our sins. We have no right to dictate to God how he's going to be worshipped. He has his rules. We're on his ball. If you don't like it, go get your own ball. Amen? The fact is we have to do it his way. But Cain said, no, I'm going to do it my way. We're now living in a day where that's still going on. And I fear we in our churches are in a very dangerous spot now more than ever. Because of COVID. And I understand the necessity for some that need to protect themselves because of COVID. We certainly understand that. Absolutely. Don't take it as if we don't understand, because we do. And with the shutdown and all this stuff, we've faced things. Pastors, we've had to make decisions we've never had to make before. They weren't easy decisions. Sometimes we feel maybe the government's interfering with the Lord's church, and do they have the right to tell us to do certain things? And so we've been faced with things here. We quite honestly didn't know quite what to do. And it's not been easy. And it's been a struggle. But we're now at a stage where, because so many people in congregations across America have been staying at home watching services, and some are needing to do that right now. I understand that. But we need to be careful that we do not dictate to God how we're going to worship him. God has certain rules that we need to abide by. There's a doctrine that is very popular here in America, and it's called the Universal Church Doctrine. And the Universal Church Doctrine that it is breeding a temptation of rebellion that never used to be in good people, but is there now, because they have caught on to some false teaching. The universal church idea is simply this, is that when you get saved, we're all members of God's church. You don't have to be a member of a local assembly. You're now a child of God, and you're going to be part, you know, of the church of heaven. So you don't necessarily need to yield to the authority of a pastor. You can get fed online. You can get fed by turning on your radio. You can be fed by dialing in to the TV program. Now, I am on radio. I have a national radio broadcast. Last month was 10 years on the radio. 3 years in, I was nationally syndicated. I was on over 400 stations across the states from coast to coast. And we've dialed back a little bit. I'm still coast to coast, but on 85 stations, a little bit more manageable and a little bit more affordable. And even though I'm on radio, I'm not a big fan of radio, Christian radio. I'm not a big fan of Christian TV. Because sometimes people, when they tune in there, you get what I call milkshake theology. A little bit of this from this preacher, a little bit of that from this preacher, and a little bit of that from that preacher, and you kind of start mixing it all together, and you got like a blended milkshake theology. And then you start thinking, well, this person waxes eloquent. My pastor's not as eloquent as that person. And this person, boy, he must be successful because he's on the radio. And he said this, but my pastor said this, but this person must be more successful, so he must be right. And we yield to other teachers. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that we ought to be walking worthily. When you run the race, you need to, you're not going to be crowned. You're not going to have reward unless you strive, what? Lawfully. So tonight I want to talk about those who run the race unworthily. Who are running the race, but they're not doing it the way God said for them to do it. They're going to make up their own rules. Take your Bibles, if you would, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. As we are beginning our church in Hickory, Victory Baptist Church, I love the website that we've got for that, Victory for Hickory. I love that, Victory for Hickory. And as we're developing this church, we've been working with our core team and teaching and training, and we've been going through our core doctrines. And so naturally, we've been studying ecclesiology, and basically, ecclesia, the word ecclesiology comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which is where we get the word church, which simply means the called out ones, the assembly, the called out ones. And so when we assemble as a congregation, there are certain rules that God has for us and certain things that God has in store for how the church should operate. And one of the things that we must recognize is that God has designed through his infinite wisdom that a church should be led by a pastor. He's to stand as the man of God before you to give and divide to you the words of life. Now, great responsibilities are on his shoulder in how he administers his job. If he errs, if he does wrong, if he teaches false teaching, he's one day will stand before the Lord of heaven and give an account. I wouldn't want to be in those shoes. If you divert from the teaching of God, or if you become a tyrant in the pulpit or a bully, the Lord has some words to say about that. And some people do that. Some pastors there, they veer from God's word and teach things that are man's doctrines but not God's doctrines there. They'll stand before God and answer for that. And so when you have a righteous servant of God who is teaching the word of God, the Bible says this, obey them that have the rule over you. Now, who are these people? These are certainly spiritual leaders. We go up to verse number 7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. So it's clearly the context we're talking about. Those who have the rule over you, those who are your leaders, they are ones who speak the word of God. These are the spiritual leaders that God has placed over you. We come down to verse number 17. We're now told to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them. Now, here's the thing. Pastor, you've seen it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And it happens often. We get people who get disgruntled. They get maybe rubbed out of shape about something that was preached or something that was done or whatever and stuff. And then they kind of say, well, you know, and I guarantee you, they're going to find the pastor at fault, the church at fault. They're not at fault, but everyone else is going to be at fault. And they're going to find their way out of church. Well, we're going to go find us another church. And there's the truth to be told, it's often is this, is that there's something that they cannot submit to. They're not willing to submit to the leadership of the man of God. Now, I used to call them watermelon seed Christians. You know what a watermelon seed, you ever done that? You know, watermelon seed, you put a little bit of pressure on it there and... Preacher preaches something, admonishes them. Listen, my friend, you need to straighten up. You need to change this in your life. God doesn't want you behaving this way and stuff. And a little pressure gets put on them, but instead of yielding to the man of God, they go find someone else. And they sit underneath that ministry. And I can kind of tell you what's going to happen. These people are not really yielding and changing and following God's way. They've got their way of doing it. They're going to say, no, I want to worship God on my terms. And another preacher comes along and has to tell them, my friends, now, for a while it looks good. Everything's honeymoon for a while and stuff. But then a little pressure comes along and they're still in their sin and still not living right. And that preacher comes along and, hey, my friend, you know, you need to start yielding to God, doing what God says. And more pressure comes on them. Then they go find somewhere else. And after a period of time, of a few bits of church hopping, every preacher in town is at fault. Every church in town is at fault. You've heard them, haven't you? You know what they're actually admitting? Well, they're not admitting, but you know what the truth is? They're saying, I'm going to serve God, but on my terms, not his. They will not obey. They will not yield. So I'm going to wrap this up here this evening. If you find yourself out there, let's say maybe some are listening here online. And one of the things that I've read, Barna's come out with some research of those who've been out of church. You know, 34% of church members, according to Barna, have said, over the last year, we have not attended one service at all. 50% of millennials say, we don't even watch church. They used to be church attenders. We're not even watching church online. We're not going. We're not watching. It's predicted that 1 in 5 churches are going to close as a result of COVID. Because of lack of participation in their churches. But there's a great host of people that are watching online, but not watching their church anymore. They're watching multiple churches. And it's breeding new habits and taking away the momentum and the fellowship that they had with their congregation. Many churches are in danger, and I feel we're heading more and more for this, for people standing aside. Let me say this before we close. We need to realize the church was founded by our Savior. He is the head of the church, even though the under-shepherd stands to represent God's word to you there. The head of the church is still Jesus Christ. This is His church. This is the Lord's church. And please understand this, it was His precious blood that he spilt to pay for this church. This is precious to the Lord. We should not take it being casual. And we must be devoted to it as the Lord was devoted to it. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. You know, pastors stand with the double account, with double accountability. They have to be accountable for what they did. They'll stand before the Lord. But look in our passage here. I almost passed this up there. They're also accountable to you. Get this. Look at this. Verse 17, let's read it again. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it would be unprofitable to you. One of the things that breaks your heart sometimes as a pastor, so sometimes you know you're going to stand before the Lord and certain people are going to come up. And he said, Lord, we tried. Every effort we knew how, we tried to encourage them. We tried to admonish them. We tried to get them to walk the way that was right. We loved them. We gave to their need. We pleaded with them. We were patient with them. But they wouldn't yield. They wouldn't yield. And there's some families you'll be able to say, oh, Lord, brother so-and-so and their family, oh, what a joy, what a delight it was to see them walk in the ways of God, to see them grow, to see the victory that they got in their life as they yielded to the Lord. Oh, there'll be some people we'll be able to give a great report for. But those that we have to give a poor report, it's not going to be good for them. It's not going to be good for them. So if you're out there thinking, you know, I don't necessarily need church. I like going to this church. The preacher, you know, he's handsome, and you know, he's very knowledgeable and very youth. Hang on, wrong preacher. You may be coming for other reasons there, but please understand this: we need to come because and hear the man of God because he's preaching the word of God. Amen. And those that serve well, that preach doctrine, they're worthy of double honor. And I've known your pastor now for a few years, and I know you are privileged to have a good leader, to have a good pastor. But folks, we still need to yield and give them difference and honor them and know them and to be blessed by them. But if you're living out there saying, no, I'm going to serve God on my terms. I'm just going to watch whoever I want to watch. I don't need a pastor. I don't need to be a member of a church. I don't need to yield to their authority. After all, I'm a member of the Lord's church, that universal, that invisible church there. I'm not sure how I'm going to assemble every first day of the week like I'm instructed to do. I don't know how I'm going to give tithes to that church every Sunday as I'm instructed to do. I don't know how I'm going to brought into discipline when I need it and encouragement when I need it from that invisible church there, but nevertheless, I'm going to follow that church instead of the Lord's church that God planted here. I'm here to tell you, you're walking unworthily. You're not running in the lane that God has called you to run in. You're running the race unworthily, and you'll not receive masteries if you continue in your rebellion. Repent of it. Return back to God and find yourself in harmony and fellowship with the Lord's church and under the leadership of God's man. And I'm telling you, when you do that and walk with the Lord, not only will you find repentance in your returning, but you'll also find rejoicing, because there's joy walking in the ways of the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed here tonight. Thank you for this opportunity, Pastor, to be with you, with your good people. Now I wonder, though, as we close, maybe there's someone here and saying, Brother Wallace, it may not be noticeable to others. Others may not know my heart, but God knows it. And I know God's not pleased with me. I've been living in rebellion. I've been trying to do and serve God on my terms. And the Lord's spoken to my heart here tonight. And I need to yield. I need to be right. I need to be right with my church family. I need to be right with my pastor. I need to be right with God. Whatever your need is, maybe it's another need here this evening. Let's have joy for the journey. Let's walk faithfully. Let's walk obediently. Because we'll not receive masteries if we strive unlawfully. Let's yield and bend to His way instead of being stiff-necked and running the race on our terms. We need to yield to Him. Father, Lord, I pray that You would speak to any heart that needs, Lord, correction. Sometimes, Lord, we need to be admonished. Sometimes, Lord, we need to be reminded that we're not in charge, but You're in charge. And I pray for pastors across America, Lord. May they serve with a servant's heart, because that's the type of leadership that You desire, those that would be a minister, those that would serve. You showed us how to be a leader by taking the disciples into the upper room and washing their feet and serving them, and serving their needs. Lord, You showed us how great leadership begins, and it begins with service. And I pray, Lord, that You would raise up preachers like that across this land. And I pray that, Lord, Your children would be obedient and yield themselves to the teaching and leadership of their pastor and of their local church. And I pray, Lord, that souls would be saved and that repentance would be made and our country would return back to You. We pray, God, that You would be glorified in all that's said and done this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.